Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the regular semi-monthly meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee, postponed from May 22nd to tonight, May 29th. It is 5:41 p.m. Pacific Time and 8:41 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from KPFA, and the committee chair, R. Paul Martin from WBAI, is our secretary, and he will start us off with a roll call.
Okay, roll call here. All right, Ken Aaron?
Here.
Okay. Jim Boyd, Bill Crozier, Marcus Jetter, Campbell Johnson?
Here.
Kim Kaufman?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tracy Rosenberg?
Here.
Alex Steinberg?
Present.
Barbara Whipperman? LeVarne Williams? Okay, that's six, so we have a quorum.
Amazing. Okay, thanks everyone. Let's start with our draft agenda, which was sent out a little earlier today, 2:54 p.m. I will go ahead and read what's on it. Who just joined us?
Arlene.
LeVarne.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we just did our roll call, so R. Paul, if you could add both their names, that would be great.
Sorry, we were a little slow. I was on the phone.
I was
with Bill, actually.
I was talking with our banker, doesn't seem to understand. We have an account that for some reason they don't seem to understand that why we had changed signatures on it.
Okay, no worries, guys. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Okay, so we are taking a look at our draft agenda, which is not so complex tonight. I will read it out for the roll, for the stream. We have a roll call, approve the agenda, approve minutes. We wanted to look at the draft financial transparency document that I drew up some time ago. Marcus was supposed to be working on it with me. He hasn't really, but that said, I think it's probably time for the whole group to take a look at it. We were going to talk briefly about interstation transfers to pick up on the motion that was passed by this committee last time we met, do some budget check-ins with the treasurers that are here, and then I left the LADC check-ins as the last item because we, in terms of our subcommittees, have not done a great deal of work there because events have rather outstripped our time schedule, but we can certainly talk about what's up at both of those stations and how the fund drives went at all the stations, which I think is pertinent. So that's basically the agenda. Any modifications, changes, objections, moves to approve? Interest?
Move to approve the proposed draft agenda.
Any objections?
Without objection.
Okay, so approved. That will leave us with any pending open session minutes, if we do have them. Or, Paul, I didn't see you upload any, but maybe I missed it.
I sent them up last week.
Oh, well, when you're that efficient, we all get confused.
Yes, I know. It's confusing.
We expect the day of the meeting. All right. So that would have been for the meeting that we had on May 8th. Is there a motion to approve those minutes as submitted or to modify?
I move to postpone approval.
Arg.
Well, nobody wanted to approve it yet, so.
I hate that, but if that's what happens, that's what happens. Is anybody willing to approve these?
Yeah, I'm trying to do things, so hold on.
Okay.
Okay, I move to approve the minutes of the last meeting. Whatever the hell it was.
Okay.
The May 8th meeting.
Okay, so we have a motion to postpone and a motion to approve, so we'll just take those in order and we'll do one or the other. So we're going to start off with the motion to postpone because it was put in first. Are there any objections? Yes, sir. What am I screwing up?
Well, the order would have to be, in order to postpone something, it has to be on the floor. So we have to have that motion on the floor, and yes, you would go to postpone first, but the reason you go is because it's postponing something. So in a minute, the motion will happen, and then a motion to postpone it will happen, although does the maker still want to do that?
I understand what you're saying. All right, so the motion to approve the minutes is on the floor. There is a motion to postpone. Campbell, do you still want to move forward with the motion to postpone?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll start with that. Are there any objections to postponing?
Objection.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so let's do a roll call on postponing, then we'll do one on approving.
This is Kim, and I'm just kind of being quiet because I think I remember looking at them last time, and I don't remember what I thought, if I had a change or not. And so I sort of don't care because I know I can, when I find them again, go back and...
This is true. We can always bring them back up. My feeling about postponing minutes is if we can avoid it, it's a good thing because we forget about them, and it's important to have a finance record trail. So I prefer that we stay on top of it. But if people want to postpone, that's what we'll do. So, Arpal, can you call the roll on postponing?
Yeah. Okay, on postponing approval of the minutes, Ken Aaron.
No.
Boyd, Bill Crozier, Marcus Jeter, Campbell Johnson.
Yes.
Kim Kaufman. Kim Kaufman.
Kim?
Sorry, I'm going to vote no.
R. Paul Martin, no. Tracy Rosenberg.
I'll vote no.
Alex Steinberg. Alex Steinberg. Barbara Wipperman. LaVarn Williams.
I'll pass.
Okay, coming back. Steinberg. Okay, we're not hearing Alex if he's there. LaVarn Williams. LaVarn Williams? LaVarn?
Hello, LaVarn. I'll abstain.
Okay. All right. The vote is 1-4, 4 against, 1 abstention.
Okay. So we will move to the motion to approve. And that said, if any member wants to bring to the floor a modification of these minutes, that is perfectly in order at a later date. Go ahead, Art Paul, and call the roll on approving the minutes.
Okay, 1 second. All right, on approving the minutes of the May 8th meeting, Ken Aaron.
Vote to approve the minutes.
That's a yes. Jim Boyd, Bill Crozier, Marcus Jeter, Campbell Johnson?
No.
Kim Kaufman? Kim Kaufman?
Shoot. Sorry, I'm on mute. Yes.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Alex Steinberg? Okay. Barbara Wipperman? LaVarn Williams?
Yes.
Okay, 5-4, 1 against.
Okay, done. Thanks, guys. Okay, so that brings us to the draft financial transparency. I guess it's, I wouldn't say that it's a motion at this point. It's a document for review. And this was prepared based on a request from the WPFW treasurer, Marcus Jeter. He sent some notes. I worked it into some draft language. We were supposed to go back and forth about it a bit. It never quite happened. But since it's been some time since it came up, I thought at this point I would just shoot it out to the group. I think, if it's okay, it went out on the email a little while ago that it might make sense for me to just read the document out loud. Does that work?
That's
fine. Please do.
Okay. And that way we will all not have to fiddle with our emails and sit here while we're trying to get to the hump of what it says. Okay, one sec. My recollection is it's not that long, but I haven't looked at it in a while, so if it's too long, apologies. Well, it's long enough, but that's okay. All right, so this is sort of motion language, but not entirely. And this is how it goes. It starts off with, it is the policy of the Pacifica Foundation that financial data should be transparent to Foundation members and the general public to the greatest extent possible, while protecting the privacy of employees and volunteers and looking after the best interests of the Foundation. In order to meet this goal, this policy is meant to guide the Foundation to best practices in appropriate disclosure, both by data type and by member type. So what we have basically is three categories of financial data. The first one is called Category 1. This data is available to any member of the public upon request, is regularly released by the Foundation, should be posted on station websites in a category called Financial Information, and can be freely forwarded by local and national board members. It includes the following items: income statements, profit loss, monthly, quarterly, and yearly, after release from the CFO and clearly marked as preliminary or final. Second item, balance sheets, quarterly, after release from the CFO and clearly marked as preliminary or final. Draft and approved station budgets, including projected revenues and expenses, including fund drive projections and excluding personnel costs with identifying data, including name, job title, social security number, and or physical description. All budgetary documents to indicate the budgetary period referenced and the state of approval at the time of release, namely draft, LSB approved, NFC approved, PNB approved. Item 4, audited financial statements, full financial statements issued on completion of the annual Pacifica audit. Fifth item, annual 990 form. Sixth item, labor union contracts with CWA, AFTRA, and MBET. So that's Category 1. Category 2, this data is available to local station board treasurers during the budget preparation cycle and on request at other times of the year. This material may be distributed to all local board members on a confidential basis. These are not public documents. Item 1, personnel cost breakdowns by position, including salary and benefit information. Item 2, contracts with vendors approved for $5,000 or more. Item 3, station headcounts. Item 4, cash flow projections. Category 3, this data is available to members of the Pacifica National Board by regular distribution from the CFO and or the ED on a quarterly basis. This data is confidential and may not be disclosed by members of the PNB. Disclosures other than whistleblowing to regulatory agencies is a violation of confidentiality agreements. Disclosures to regulatory agencies are subject to applicable California law. Items are 1, legal expense reports, item 2, major payables, item 3, auditor letters to the Pacifica National Board, item 4, contracts with vendors for $25,000 or more, item 5, personnel cost breakdowns with personally identifying data. So that's the draft, and I understand there's a lot of stuff in there, and there will probably be some addressing of the categories, but I thought it was at least something to work with.
Gracie, it's Arlene to the SAC.
Mm-hmm.
Ken to the SAC, too.
Out there for discussion, which it looks like is going to ensue. And I did send it to you all as K-Word docs. You should be able to pull it up and take a look at it. You don't have to memorize those things. Okay, let's start with the SAC. Okay, we have Arlene, we have Ken, then we have our Paul.
Campbell.
Okay, Campbell, you're fourth.
Do you want me to go?
Yes, I do. We're going Arlene and then Ken and then Arpal and then Campbell.
Right. Okay. First of all, in the Category 1, I don't know what NABET is, but we don't have a contract with them that I know of. We do have contracts with CWA, and actually it's now SAG-AFTRA.
Okay, thank you. I will correct that. I thought one of the unions was NABET/CWA,
no.
But I'm wrong. Okay.
No, it's just CWA at KPFA, and the other three stations that have unions are SAG-AFTRA, SAGAFTRA. I think it's, but I have to look that up to be sure which is what's official. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
My second comment regards Category 2. The minute we put personnel costs by position out there, we might as well put the names with it. And Category 3, on the legal expenses, certainly the overall legal expenses can be revealed to the board as a whole, but there is a definite issue over detail on many of the legal expenses when board members either directly or indirectly are involved in some of the legal actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those are both valid points. If you have any concrete suggestions about what to do with those items instead of where they've been put, you can make them. Otherwise, for now, I'm just making a note of the objections.
Right.
And then we'll sort over them and try to figure out what to do.
If we, give the monthly, I don't know what to call it other than the overall, invoice, but not the summary invoice is what we need to, what we can release to everybody, for each legal firm or person.
Okay. Well, I think we can certainly finesse the language on the legal expense report.
Right.
So I'm less concerned about that in terms of what that report consists of.
Yeah.
The personnel cost breakdowns by position, including salary and benefit information, we're probably going to have to talk about because treasurers have needs during the budget preparation cycle and employees have confidentiality needs, and sometimes I think those two things definitely butt against each other.
Right. And so how we handle that, I'm not sure, but to say that it can be distributed to all local board members is of concern. Unfortunately, we know things leak. I mean, I was dealing with cuts at a station, and things leaked, and we've reached a point for legal reasons that we can't make one cut that was planning to be made.
Right. Okay. Well, let's go to Ken. You're next on the stack.
Okay. Who drew this up initially?
Me.
Very
in response
good.
To Marcus asking me to do so. I was hoping that he would work with me on it a bit, but we never quite did, so it's basically just me at this point.
Well, I think it's an admirable first effort. Very good. I'm glad it's being addressed. I had a few questions, which the first one is, or just comments. The Category 1, where it says should be posted, I think it should just be declared, will be posted. And again, I would say that we want to assign responsibility. So say that it will be posted under the direction of the GM or under the direction of the CFO. Just assign responsibility for who's got to make sure it gets done rather than anomalous.
Okay. Do you know who you want to assign the responsibility to, or do you want to think about that a little?
Well, I mean, No, the data is available to any member of the public and will be posted on station websites in a category called financial information, freely forwarded by local and national board members. It will be posted. Responsibility for posting shall reside with the general manager. Okay. But
okay.
Likewise, this applies to all business units. So the same information would have to be posted for Pacific Radio Archives and National Office. Transparency is the best tonic, right, Mark Twain? Sunlight's the best disinfectant. So forcing it to be disclosed keeps everybody open and honest and on time. So I would assign it to the general managers or in the case of or the heads of units. And the thing I didn't understand was down in the Category 3 financial data, why would contracts for vendors over 25,000 be more confidential than any other contracts? Why would they be undisclosed? A $25,000 contract, unless it's a Pentagon Black project, should most be most publicly disclosed. Like, you want to know that we contracted for GE to do janitorial services, or we contracted with Neiman Marcus for our paper plates, or we contracted with Morgan Stanley to do our accounting. That's the kind of stuff we want to have publicly disclosed, so we don't have any secrets.
And those are confidential according to our bylaws, and in many cases according to the contract itself.
I don't think vendor contracts are.
Okay,
I don't
guys,
see why a vendor contract would be confidential.
Let's stop the crosstalk. I will answer your question, Ken, about
okay,
why.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So
that, and then we can have
the
crosstalk about it. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me just finish that.
But
the negotiation
of
the contract is confidential. Once the contract is signed, and we're spending $25,000 a year for audio tape or for whatever we're buying, that should be public knowledge, so that we disclose it. The negotiation is confidential.
Right.
We've auditors' letters to the board,
right,
unfortunately, haven't been made confidential. I guess they could be. Again, major payables, I question that. The reason I'm saying it is, what's wrong with it being public? Because I understand it can damage our credit, but on the other hand, we're not hiding anything. So everybody knows we owe $1 million here or $2 million there. Let everybody know, because we're going to put the balance sheet up, so they're going to see our assets and our liabilities. So how do you hide the major payables? By not disclosing who they're payable to? That's what I don't understand.
Okay.
If you're going to put a balance sheet on the website, you're going to say my payables, these are my liabilities. So what is it that we're keeping confidential? But again, I think this is fantastic, and I completely support this. And, you know, just get rid of as much secrecy as we can, unburden ourselves of all these secrets. That's all.
That's the intent. Have a clear policy, and I expected there to be all kinds of objections and modifications and working into language, and this is good.
Oh,
I just want to get all questions out there so we can take them up. So thank you.
Main to the stack.
I'll tell you what I was thinking, and we'll take the objections, and maybe we can find ways to deal with language that, you know, solves some of these things. But anyway, I'm going to continue with the stack, which is our poll.
Okay. Yeah, the Category 1 thing, looking rapidly here, seems pretty much okay. The Category 2, we start getting into some things that are kind of confusing to me because, for instance, station headcounts, you know, Station X has 25 FTEs. I don't see how that's something that should be restricted to LSB. This says this data is available to local station board treasurers during the budget preparation cycle and on request at other times of the year. You can give it out to the LSB members on a confidential basis. Station headcounts, I don't understand how that would be. I mean, I'm simply saying, like, as per my example, 25 FTEs or whatever. So I don't see that as being it, and we have certainly put those out over these over the stream for years. So that would be different.
Well, there's nothing here that's retroactive. So don't get into that's not what we used to do, or that's not the implication of the document. It's entirely going forward.
Yes, I understand, because there's no way we could retract it. Let's see the personnel cost breakdowns. When we do the budgets, we have some of that, and like the three-page budgets that draft budgets that we're handing out to people now, and saying, well, let's go over this. Include more in the aggregate, and to say personnel cost breakdowns by position. Would that affect, like, because I know that in some cases we have budgets that have the, like, admin will have some of the personnel cost in there, which we've argued about. But I think that would I think that would need some clarification. I mean, basically, yeah. Let's not. We can't say Joe Blow is making, you know, one third what he could make somewhere else, because that will damage Joe Blow when he goes to get another job. So I understand that. The vendors, I think that has to be looked at, and you know, the contracts with vendors has to be looked at, because if you're getting a consultant, basically, you need to let people know what that's going for, I think. I mean, I'm open to discussion on that, but offhand is that. Then cash flow projections, I think that can't be in Category 2, because I think that has to be something that you're using to evaluate budgets and to evaluate your quarterlies. And we've, again, I'll just say we've put those out in the past, and I don't know that those have hurt us a whole lot. Mm-hmm. So I don't see those things. I don't know. I have various different questions and probable disagreements about the Category 2. On Category 3, major payables, again, we've sort of said some of that over the streams and all, and I don't know that those have to be so confidential. That's another area that needs to be discussed a bit. I will say auditor letters to the board, I think everybody's seen them because they all leak. That's another thing. Now, in terms of...
All right. Well, policy is policy and reality is reality. So
yeah.
let's try to focus on policy.
Yes.
What should like to be happening.
And in terms of the personnel cost breakdowns with personally identifying data, that the policy in the past from the PNB has been that, like, you know, here's the list of who works at a station and what they make. The policy has been that the treasurer gets it and the rest of the LSB doesn't. Of course, I guess the directors probably see it already anyway. I don't know. But the treasurer gets it and then fuzzes up the numbers to within plus or minus 3,000 of what the person's actually making. And that's been the policy in the past, and it seems to have worked, because I would be a little leery of putting out the exact information to even the LSB members, because you know, people sometimes take that and start using that. Whereas if it's fuzzed up data, they know that, you know, they're not really, they're getting a ballpark figure and not something precise. So so there's that, I guess. And that's about most of what I have to say. Okay.
Okay, that sounds reasonable. Okay, Campbell, what you got?
Three things.
Okay.
First, that in regard to having any privilege access, all treasurers, LSB delegates, and PNB directors will be required to provide current confidentiality statements. One.
Yeah.
Two.
That's reasonable.
Before access, of course. Two. That access will depend upon advice of counsel. Three, that notes related to, and I'm talking about notes such as in the financial statements, related to confidentiality or competitive issues such as forbearance shall not be disclosed. So what I'm talking about here is this. If we receive a forbearance from Democracy Now! And or Free Speech Radio News, such that our current indebtedness becomes a longer-term indebtedness, then the fact of the existence of a forbearance that led to this does not need to be disclosed.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, off the top of my head, those all sound sound reasonable, and I made notes to that effect. And okay. All right. So at this point, we're going back.
Kim to the stack.
Alex to the stack.
Okay. Well,
no,
we had some.
I'm not sure if you heard. Yeah, Laverne to the stack.
Let's let people weigh in once, and then we'll go back for the go around. So I'm going to go to Laverne, and then Kim, and then Alex, and the rest of you will come back on the second time. Laverne? Laverne, you're up. Laverne. Okay,
Laverne?
Let's go on. Okay, let's go back to Kim, and then we'll come back to Laverne afterwards. Kim, you're up.
I guess I concur with our Paul that my understanding of how it's worked is that the treasurer gets to see the actual numbers, and of course the PNB directors do, but the LSB does not, and they don't really need to, as far as I can see.
Okay.
Well, I didn't write down all the other stuff. I think that, I don't know, I have one issue about what Campbell just said about, like, having to ask the attorney about what to see. I think we want to keep our asking attorney issues down to a real minimum. I don't know why we can't, for example, have the LSB or anyone look at our janitorial contract. I don't see why that's proprietary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that.
Okay.
I guess
okay. I'm just noting where the objections are, and then we'll
talk
them through a bit, or we'll take the item up in a couple of weeks, depending on what we want to do. But okay. Anything else you want to sort of put on the table?
Maybe, but I can't think of it now. I will get out pen and paper so I can actually take notes.
Sure. Yeah.
Because
nothing set in stone, for sure.
Winging it doesn't seem to be working tonight.
Okay. Laverne is next on the stack, if she's here now.
Yeah,
Laverne?
Thank you. Yeah, it's this phone. The point about having access rather to the personnel data in terms of on a monthly basis the salaries of each individual by
mm-hmm.
unit or by station. That was a question, and I think our Paul really repeated or actually laid out what our position had been in the past. So that's why I wanted him to do that, but he's done that. And the other is that on the balance sheet, I think that what we're waiting for now is kind of like waiting for our CPP funds, that we can't produce the balance sheet until the books are closed for the year. And I think that when we're on a call, I think our independent auditor agreed after he had made a comment about it. But so some of the information will not be available due to the fact that the audit has not been completed. And although it's 9 months out, it's unfortunate, but it's a fact. And the other information, I think we just need to, like, kind of lay out what we need to show at various times as far as, preliminary draft. And so the information has always been available, but it's a matter of having, you know, someone to make sure it goes on to KPFTX, which is where we have at least the budgets up, but we still, you know, don't have anyone in-house to, like, make sure we have everything on the database and updated and so it can be seen. So just kind of back on the personnel, that the information is available. I send out the detail by station to the business managers, but for the PNB, I just do the summary usually. So, this is it, that the information is always there, but we just don't have a person you know, who's there to, like, update all these reports and put in the KPTX, which Otis McClay had actually set up for us to use, and we're just using it partially. But, yeah, this is a great start.
Okay, cool. Okay, next person on the stack is Alex.
Okay, first I want to preface my remark by asking a question. I don't recall the original motivation for this motion, so could you explain why you think we need this policy? Because my understanding is that we've had a policy, although it may not have been written out in any formal way, of disclosing public information that's supposed to be public and information that's somewhat more private, disclosing it, of course, to national board members and to a limited extent to LSB members. So that's my question. The other thing I wanted to say was that I agree with those members who object to releasing detailed personnel information to any and all LSB members. I think that would be a big mistake. I think we have to recognize that there are certain conflicts of interest that we may have on some of our LSBs. And I think we'd be better off. Of course, the treasurer should have that kind of information. The director should have that kind of information. The other LSB members really don't need that kind of information. There may be exceptions from time to time, so I don't see why that should be required. That's all.
Got it. Okay, Alex, maybe I'll just answer your point of information before we go to the second go-rounds on the stack. Is that okay, since you asked just a little bit about why?
Well, I mean, in other words, what is the problem we're trying to solve with this?
Okay, what triggered it? This is a while ago, so we may all have blocked it out, as we do, because we all get a lot of email. There was a rather heated email exchange from the WPFW treasurer that specifically related to difficulties that he felt that he was experiencing getting information and really some rather flagrant questions about what the heck is the policy. The way that we dealt with it on the NFC at that time was we had a discussion and agreed that the policies were somewhat at least unspoken to some degree, and that it would be helpful to try to regularize, standardize, and draft something up. And Marcus agreed that he would work on it with me.
Campbell for a stack.
Committee. My recollection of work was that Marcus and I briefly talked, and I said what I would do is make a draft and send it, and then he could mess around with it, and we'd go back and forth on the email. We never did that, so all you have here is my draft. And I'm sorry about that. I just felt like after 6 or 8 weeks, it was probably better to do something with it than not to do something with it. But that was the generation of it. And like I said, I'm not married to anything on this at all. It is totally a rough draft, and I want all of you to fix it. I mean, that's what we're trying to do. So that is what the generation of it is. And it was an agreement on the NFC that we would, in fact, have the subcommittee try to produce something. So that's what happened. My memory is that we have...
Tracy, you're gone. You're gone. We can't hear you.
Sorry. For second on the stack, my recollection is that we have Arlene, we have Ken, we have Campbell. Do we have anybody else?
Yeah, Kim back.
Kim back. Anybody else?
Kim back to the stack.
Okay. Arlene, you're up.
Okay. Mostly, Campbell, I agree with you. I thought that was most of your comments were very well put. Think about us releasing the details of some of our attorney contracts, our auditor contract, or for that matter, our Democracy Now! Contract, you know, which was kind of makes us look like...
Well, whatever. It's not something we want to release.
I just don't think that we want to release every contract we have to the public, and I think that in some cases we would violate legal mandates. So I thought Campbell's suggestion put it very well.
But what about...
And let me also say that there is no war here against additional
Bless you, Tracy.
What?
Your voice is fading.
I'm back,
okay.
Tracy.
Say that if you have a policy, there's nothing.
We can't hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm talking into my phone. Anyway, let me also say that if we put something in a certain category, there's absolutely nothing that stops the foundation from, in a given situation, going for more disclosure than is in the policy. In other words, if there are certain classes of contracts that we feel should be revealed and certain classes of contracts that shouldn't be revealed, we can make that distinction. Or, you know, it's not that it's hard to write a policy for every single thing under the face of the earth.
But we don't want to put in a policy that we will release all contracts and then find ourselves in a legal bind.
Right. But at the moment, that's not what the draft says. So keep that in mind. Okay. So Arlene has spoken, so up to Ken.
Okay. Yeah, Tracy, I don't know what it is. I think you might be turning your head or lifting your arm up in the air or something, because you get going.
Yeah, I have to.
Anyhow, I just want to say this dogmatically. The secret to efficiency is to remove unnecessary decision points. The more decision points you have, the slower a bureaucracy operates. So we want to have categories where it's a done deal. These things get posted. It's over. And we want to have exceptions go the other way. So the thing about the contracts being secret, I think, is a difficulty, because it unnecessarily cedes power in certain quarters where it shouldn't be. If we have an embarrassing contract with Democracy Now!, let the world know about it. If the vendor says, well, we're going to cut you a special deal, but we don't want the public to know, because then they're all going to ask for that special deal. If something like that, that would be an exception if we decide to do it. And we might say, no, we don't operate like that. We're all Mennonites. We have to tell the truth to everybody. We just can't restrain ourselves. So we want to be open-faced. We want to be transparent. So my thing is, and I understand there's normal exclusions, because you may have separate contracts with certain employees, and there's a big long tradition of making deals with everybody gets his own contract if he's not in a union, you know, with talent. I don't know. There could be exceptions. But what I'm saying is, and speaking to what Alex said, we want to remove decision points. We don't want LSBs, PNBs, general managers, EDs deciding what to disclose. We want to declare these get disclosed, these don't. We want to remove decision points, make much less contention in the future. And the other thing about what Campbell was saying about getting advice from attorneys all the time is, again, I don't like ceding control over to attorneys, just for legal matters. And again, this is, we're talking about signed contracts, not negotiations. That's separate. Negotiation is what's covered under the California Corporation Code. Negotiations and competitive advantage and things like that. So I guess that's what I really wanted to say. But Tracy, you certainly don't have to defend this. We're going to wordsmith it and get a consensus. But it's the right thing to do, is to come out with a policy. And the better things are disclosed, I think, in the long run, the less arguments we'll have internally, because it'll all be obvious and known and not a secret. And not, you know, that's what I like. Okay, I'm done talking. I hope I wasn't on mute. No, I wasn't. Okay, bye-bye.
You were not. Okay, next person on the stack is Kim.
I thought I was.
Oh, maybe you are.
Let Campbell
okay.
go. I don't care.
Campbell, then Kim.
Thank you. The treasurer came up with this for a very specific reason, and that reason is that some of the people who are in the so-called PA, Programmers Association, which likes to say that it represents over 80 folks, but I have not seen not one signature, and a number of people have disavowed any engagement with this, want to advance the notion of we should all sit down together and decide who is going to get paid what. And, you know, this is somewhat stepping beyond what governance is about into micromanagement. And so what the effort has been focusing on is getting right into the specific details of micromanagement, which I don't think does Pacifica or WPFW any good. I think that if we are not careful, if we don't get sage legal advice in terms of establishing policies in this context, that we will regret it insofar as lawsuits that will come from this, from acting without without sage legal advice. I'm not a fan of always running to lawyers, no, but I think that when you have contentious situations that are just waiting for litigation, you don't have to feed those flames, and I'm convinced without any doubt in my mind that this is precisely what will be happening if the kind of information that is being sought by our treasurer, who I don't know what professional experience he has, but by our treasurer and some other people who tend to show up at have recently tended to show up at our LSB Finance Committee meetings. And this, I don't think, is healthy for our station nor for the network as a whole. So I think that we need to be very careful as we tread here and do so with great discernment and not just throw open the doors to all of the information. In general, I'm inclined for transparency, but in certainly recognizing these circumstances, I think prudence would trump that kind of transparency. Thank you.
Okay. Kim, you're next. And then we should probably start figuring out what our next steps are.
I wanted to say that I thought that and it is on the financials, okay, excuse me, that they do list the FTEs, and if they change every month, I think that's good information for everyone to be able to see and be aware of, but it doesn't have any financial data. And
right.
Again, I'll just say that for a variety of reasons, releasing actual personnel data is a big problem. And oh man, I thought I wrote down some other stuff. I'm really just losing it here. But the other thing I was going to say, like I'm. In retrospect, should that solar contract have been confidential? Had it not been confidential, so much would have been saved. So much
right.
energy would have been saved in order to... For the people who should have been able to see it, at least, to have been able to see it. And to take it a step further to, you know, get the LSB to look at it, it took an inordinate amount of time. And that's just an example of, I'm not sure why it shouldn't have been released or whether it should have been, but... That's an example of where it doesn't help to have it a secret. I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there is like an example of something gone real wrong on a bunch of levels, and I don't know if disclosure would have helped early on.
Right, right.
Other
yeah,
than
well,
to save time. I don't know. Like some, yeah. like I think Ken said, if it's a bad contract, everybody should know quickly.
It's a good contract, not so much. I know.
Well, if it's a good contract, then there's nothing to be ashamed of, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let me say a couple of things just about sort of how we move on, because we have been talking about this for 45 minutes, so I don't want the meeting to get, you know, prohibitively long tonight. It's pretty clear where the trouble spots are, and it's nice to see that people basically agree on what the trouble spots are. It seems to me like there's four or five items that people referenced over and over again, as they weren't quite sure that what was on the draft was quite right, whether it was in the category or the language just needed to be wordsmith, which is fine. And I think it's, like, awesome that we agree on a number of items in terms of where the trouble spots are. So the question at this point is what to do next. We can either have a communal process where sort of everybody sends in some suggested modifications, or we can just appoint a couple of people to kind of cull all the feedback and work on it. I can see two or three changes that it seemed to me people already suggested that make sense to me. I also wanted LaVarne in on this a bit, and that also didn't quite work out. Of the people here, are there volunteers to do a little more work on this in the next week or two, or am I just dreaming that anybody has enough time to do that?
This is LaVarne. Yes, mm-hmm. How are you? I'm sorry that we didn't connect because I'm available. But again,
okay.
It's kind of like I had wanted our Paul, which he did, say that, you know, we do have a basic policy. We've worked with this forever in terms of the information going to the treasurer. However, mm-hmm. as Campbell said, we still have to be careful with that policy, too, because it just can't, you know, this is the policy that we've gone with forever.
Okay.
So
yeah,
just 1 minute. So I think that the issue with confidentiality, I think that's what needs to be stressed here and need to be agreed upon,
mm-hmm.
just the confidentiality, because I think we have worked with this, and as our poll had laid out, it's just mm-hmm. that, you know, maybe we should address the confidentiality issue more than just setting something up specifically for what, you know, one of the directors, one of the members of the committee believes is happening at his station.
Yeah. Well, there's absolutely no doubt that, you know, people breaking confidentiality is a different thing than having a policy about financial disclosure, because obviously the policy on financial disclosure assumes that if documents are released to people confidentially, they keep it confidential. And we do have a problem with that in this network. I don't know if this policy can embrace all of those problems, but we should certainly try to be cognizant of them and include them in there where we can. Is there anybody else who wants to work on this some more?
I'm thinking. Campbell.
Okay. Anybody else? I think four people might be good.
I'll help if that'll help.
Okay. Well, what I'm thinking, and I'm sorry about this, but I can go over and see LaVarne at some point, and maybe we can get the two of you on the phone at some point, maybe during the workday. Is that possible for you, Kim and Campbell?
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Campbell,
yes.
You have some flexibility? Okay. I mean, you know, we'll keep it short, but we can sort of identify the trouble spots. I think there's four or five of them that I heard,
yeah.
and see if we can come up with some mutually agreeable language. Or
as long as I can have enough advanced, you know, timing to schedule this.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. I think that would probably be pretty good, and then what we'll bring to the committee the next time will be more in the form of final modifications and a vote to kick it, I guess, to the PNB is where it will have to go. Does that work as a process? Does anybody want to object to that? Or?
Madam Chair, it's Campbell.
Yes, Campbell.
Yes. Mm-hmm. One thing that I would suggest is that before we pass on a process to the national board, I would think that it would be a very useful idea to have our council, you know, examine it for adequacy.
Okay, that sounds fine. Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Well, thank you, everyone. I appreciate your patience with my rough draft, and hopefully we'll have a less rough draft at the next meeting. So with that, I guess we'll push on the agenda. And I have no idea what's next on the agenda. So let me look.
Interstation transfer check-in.
Oh, yay. Okay. LaVarn and Arlene, I don't think either of you were with us at our previous meeting. I did email some stuff out, but just to remind you, we took an old policy from, I don't know when, 2003, 2004, that was unearthed, that was basically about disclosure to the Finance Committee of interstation transfers, which apparently was passed by the PNB and never unpassed, although it seemed to be lost a bit to the dustbins of history. We discussed it and pretty much came to the conclusion that it probably would be good for the NFC to be on top of the interstation transfers that were going on, because all of us, I think, as PNB members on the Finance Committee and as treasurers, sometimes hear about this stuff somewhat after the fact. We don't know if we're getting distorted versions or the true versions, and it's difficult for us to clarify truth from rumor in terms of how money is moving around between stations, and that it would probably be better for the NFC to get a heads up when there was a transfer going on. I think the amount was $5,000 or more. Ken, does that sound right to you?
That's what I read, Tracy. I did read the document.
Right. You know, what the method of the reporting is pretty open. I think it can be in writing. I don't think it has to be at the meeting, but I just wanted to clarify that you guys had the policy that we understood and that we were going to implement some method. We can do it as a regular agenda item on the calls if we want to, or we can suggest another mode for doing it. But the idea is that at every NFC, we would have a check-in about whether there were interstation transfers of any significant amount, what they were for, and, you know, how they're going to be dealt with in the long term, if there is a long term. Okay. I'll take a stack on that.
Okay. Arlene has a question.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay.
I have a point also to make. This is LaVarn.
Okay. Arlene?
Yeah. My question is, the way it's worded, I believe it says interdivision transfers. So that would include, you know, transfers of payroll to the national payroll account, transfers of central services to the national office, and I don't think that was actually the intent. I personally have no problem with disclosing, you know, all of the transfers that might involve a station front, you know, for lack of a better word, I'm going to say loaning money to another station in order to make payroll. Then there are also the things like agreements that were reached over some funds that would go to the archives rather than the third day of fundraising. That's a different kind of transfer, but that's been happening. Anyway, I think there needs to be just a little bit of clarity there, but certainly any funds that are used to transfer between stations in order to make payroll or rent or whatever that expense might be, benefits, makes sense to me to be reporting that. And I haven't discussed this with LaVarn because I got that while I was out of town and I just got back into the office this morning.
Okay, sounds good. LaVarn, let's take your point and then I'll put myself on the stack.
You know, I think it's really important that perhaps we should go through and try to find the motions that have been passed by the PNB, because a number of them, they're kind of like lost in the heap of motions. So if we could go through our have an access, or we'd talk with, I think Otis also, they're setting up a file to have the motions, to have those and also by committee. So if we can do that, then we can each of the secretaries perhaps, because I know our poll was keeping up with, I'm not sure if it was BAI or the PNB with motions. So I think that perhaps that's the task, so that we won't have to go out and pick up like a motion as it comes up. We can just go and look at all of them, and we can look at our processes to make sure. Some of those motions, of course, I can recall when I was on the board, I probably put those motions forward myself.
So, but again, we need to, I believe, just go and try to find the finance motions and to put those in an area so we can review all of those.
Yes, I was certainly told, Ms. Williams, that you voted for this motion in your time on the board. So there you go. Okay. To answer our Carlene's question, then we'll go back to Kim. I do not believe the intent of the motion is to report on every central services payment. Central services payments are a fact. We may have a desire on the NFC to get more accurate information about when they're made and when they're not made, but I don't think that's the intent of this motion or of the meaning interstation transfers. Payroll deposits and central service transfers are basic, regular operations. What I think the motion is intended to address is, as you said, specific station transfers where one station is for, you know, loaning money to another station or where payments are made above and beyond the budgeted central service and archive allocations, if in fact that happens.